In 1995, the island nation of Puerto Rico would play host to a rash of sightings which would challenge humanity's modern understanding of animal biology. The creature exhibited vampiric behavior and was reported to have physical traits of a variety of other animals, described as looking like a kangaroo, dinosaur, alien, demon. The beast would soon come to be known as the chupacabra. Shortly thereafter, another creature would emerge in the near desert of southern Texas, and through a bizarre turn of events would come to be called the same thing, chupacabra. Join us tonight as we attempt to set the record straight. Are there really two chupacabras? Should they really be called the same thing? And if not, what do we call the decidedly canine variant that has confused paranormal enthusiasts for almost two decades? That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Promotional consideration is provided by Loch Ness Licorice. Loch Ness Licorice, the only licorice made from 100% authentic Loch Ness monster. Loch Ness Licorice, put Nessie in your mouth.
Thank you for tuning in to Hey Strangeness, a podcast that recognizes the existence of only one chupacabra. My name is Sarah.
And I'm Aaron! Hello! Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm very excited to record this episode.
I am too. I'm ready to let everyone hear a piece of what I kind of hear a lot of. So I'm ready.
What do you mean?
You have a lot of feelings and I'm excited for you to express them.
I do. I do. And there's a fair chance that if a person is listening to this show, they have already heard my feelings on the chupacabra. But we're going to make sure, 100% sure. So what is the chupacabra? We're not going to spend too much time going over the original sightings and describing it because, again, if you're listening to this, you probably already know what the chupacabra is, where it comes from. But what is this thing, Sarah, in your mind?
Vampiric alien.
Okay. So alien, are you fond of the extraterrestrial theory?
I am.
Okay.
Like I feel like the original drawing did look like a mix between a tall gray and a green alien.
Yeah. And speaking of drawings, I have an illustration here done by our good friend Jonathan Dodd. Jonathan Dodd draws.
So cool.
He's a fantastic artist. But what we see here is a bipedal creature kind of hunched over with a very long tongue, spikes on its back, big red eyes, fangs, you know, has multiple features, both reptilian and marsupial and, you know, possibly mammalian. Really love this illustration. But what we don't see is a dog.
No. So
we don't see a dog. And we'll move on to that in a little bit. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but...
That is not a woof woof.
That is not a woof woof. Nyagy piggy. All dogs are piggins, and this is nyagy piggy. There are a lot of sources from the period of the original sightings, the mid-90s, that kind of tell us what this thing is and where it came from. The name chupacabra means...
Goat sucker.
And it was coined by... Do you remember?
No.
A radio DJ. Oh. They were, I guess, talking about it in the morning, and he was like, I know, we'll call it the chupacabra, so the goat sucker. And it stuck. So kind of an interesting origin to the name. It's not necessarily something that a scientist came up with or, anything like that. It's
That's cool.
A radio DJ came up with it. And if you do some Googling, there are some sources from the period during which these sightings took place that talk about it and that have descriptions of it. Princeton.edu, Princeton University, I guess. There's a obviously student-built website that uses Princeton.edu as its home URL that has all kinds of like blog posts and stuff by Princeton students who were following the news at the time. So that's kind of interesting. There's an Unsolved Mysteries episode that we watched together recently. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, from like 1996 or 1997?
I don't remember.
Very shortly after the original sightings. I don't remember either. That has some really interesting details in there. So there are still a lot of sources available out there from the original sightings, but a lot of them have also been lost to time. It was described by many witnesses as looking like a kangaroo or alien gray with spikes and red eyes and semi-bipedal locomotion. No actual specimens were ever found that we know of.
Dang. No poop.
No hair. No skin flakes. And it drank the blood of animals. So we actually both asked people from Puerto Rico how they felt.
We did.
About this thing.
I have a doctor, a veterinarian.
So you had the opportunity to ask a veterinarian who's from Puerto Rico.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. And what was her response?
She just kind of said no. Didn't really explain, didn't really go into detail, but...
Like, no, it's probably not real?
Yes, I think that's what she meant.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No. Okay, cool.
I had a fairly similar experience. I asked a colleague who said I could share the story, but, you know, preferred that I not share their name, but who is from Puerto Rico. And I asked the same thing. What do you know about the chupacabra? And they kind of looked at me and were like, it's not real. Those were actually the exact words. It's not real. But they did say that there is, quote unquote, oh no, I actually have a quote here. It's not real, but if you go deep into the jungle, there's some crazy shit out there. There have been rumors for years about monsters, government experiments, aliens, all kinds of stuff. There are parts of the jungle you can't get to because they're so thick, and that's where the rumors come from. So
I believe that. I like, oh my God, the if you've ever watched like a documentary that takes place in the Puerto Rican jungles, humans can't even get to certain areas without extreme difficulty just getting there,
like risking your life literally just to get there. It's worth noting that one of the prominent theories regarding the origins of this creature are possibly a government experiment gone wrong. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps not gone wrong, perhaps unleashed on the Puerto Rican populace unknowingly. They talk about this theory in the Unsolved Mysteries episode that we talked about a little while ago. And I reference that a lot, but it's a source that was compiled and released while this was going on. Like, 96, 97, there were still chupacabra sightings happening. So that's why I like it as kind of a secondary source. I also asked my Puerto Rican friend about this, and they said that it's a longstanding rumor with different takes, you know, regarding government experimentation, depending on who you ask. But there is, however, a documented history of medical experimentation on the Puerto Rican people. According to a 2017 article shared by the Washington Post, in the 50s, birth control was tested on approximately 1,500 Puerto Rican women in a public housing development.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So that happened. Previously, the drug had been tested on rats and mice and a very small sample of human test subjects somewhere in northern United States. I want to say Massachusetts or something. But data was insufficient for full FDA approval, and so they took the drugs to Puerto Rico, where there were no laws against birth control, and tested them on this 1,500-person control group. Three women died. And no autopsies were performed, so it's unknown if the experimental drugs were the cause. The drugs were, however, administered in much higher doses than they are today. In another article from NPR, published in 2015, during World War II, groups of American soldiers were used as test subjects to test the effects of compounds such as mustard gas and Lewisite. They were often grouped by race, and Puerto Ricans were one of the groups singled out. Experiments were also performed on Japanese Americans, African Americans, and possibly others. This is not in any way connected to the chupacabra. This is a piece of history that demonstrates a staggering example of people of color being taken advantage of by the government and the Western world.
It's fucking dark.
It's really dark and very serious, and I don't mean to ruin anybody's mood, but we bring it up because there is a precedent of risky government experimentation on both civilians and enlisted people. And if this disturbs you a little bit, that's great. It should. I think we should be disturbed by things that are wrong. That's why we bring it up. And the U.S. government officially doesn't conduct chemical weapons tests anymore on human subjects. If you're interested in this, do your own research, draw your own conclusions. But the whole point was simply to say that, hey, the government does, or has in the past, not does necessarily, has in the past experimented on people without their knowledge. or with their knowledge without disclosing the full danger. What do you think? Should that segment be cut?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll decide later.
So we're talking about the Texas version, mostly seen in, I want to say, like southern and western Texas, but also around the Mexican border.
Huffington Post, actually, as early as 2008, reported on the creature as having been sighted. But according to Lauren Coleman, the Lauren Coleman of the National Cryptozoology Museum, International Cryptozoology Museum?
International.
I think it's international. Okay. That Lauren Coleman, though, that guy, in an article from National Geographic, stated that people have been making this mistake since, quote, the late 90s, confusing the Texas canid version with the Puerto Rican alien version, which is, you know, means shortly after the 1995 flap, which continued on to 96, 97, people were misidentifying this animal in Texas and assigning it the name Chupacabra. We've got some more data here, another article.
From National Geographic, in 1995, Chupacabras was understood to be a bipedal creature that was 3 feet tall and covered in short gray hair with spikes out of its back, Coleman said. But as if in a game of telephone, the description of the Chupacabra began to change in the late 90s due to mistakes and mistranslations in news reports, he said. It's worth noting that today many news reports from the time of the original sightings have been lost to time. If anyone has scans of copies of these, we'd really like to see them. By about 2000, the original Chupacabra had been largely replaced by the new canine one. What was seen as a bipedal creature now stalks livestock on all fours. Woof woof.
Woof woof.
It was actually a big mistake, Coleman said. Because of the whole confusion with most of the media reporting Chupacabras now as dogs or coyotes with mange, you really didn't even hear any good reports from Puerto Rico or Brazil anymore like you did in the early days. Those reports have disappeared and the reports of canids with mange have increased.
So, let's back up a second here. Lauren Coleman. The Lauren Coleman.
The Lauren Coleman.
Of the International Cryptozoology Museum.
International.
International. I'm pretty sure it's international. One of the founding fathers of cryptozoology, one of the guys, believes that naming the Texas version of the Chupacabra the quote-unquote Chupacabra was a mistake. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a pretty big deal. You know, you can agree with this person on that thing. You can disagree with this person on that thing. Lauren Coleman, cryptozoology. I'll just let those two things float around in your head. I'm not sure how much more we need, you know, honestly. We mentioned Lauren Coleman in our Tom Slick episode. And without sharing anyone's personal information, we know someone who knows him.
Oh, yeah, you're 1 degree or 2 degrees of separation.
2 degrees separated, right?
I think so.
You know someone who knows someone that's 2 degrees?
I think so.
Or is it 1 degree?
Ooh, I don't know.
We don't know Lauren Coleman, but we know someone who does. another interesting article from 2009 concerns Blanco taxidermist Jerry Iyer. And he describes an almost endless stream of harassment from paranormal enthusiasts, news outlets, and regular old whack jobs after he came into possession of an alleged quote-unquote Chupacabra corpse. And this was the canine
version. Is that the one we watched in that episode?
The
stuffed one?
I'm not sure. That may have been a different version. But this guy...
Sorry, I just wanted to put it in my head.
No, yeah. Because there's an episode of, what was it, Monster Quest?
I think Monster Quest.
Yeah, where they show a stuffed, quote-unquote, Texas Chupacabra corpse. Yeah. Now, we've talked about Blanco before during our Al Lackey episode. The serial killer ghost hitchhiker of Blanco County. I forget what we titled it.
I forgot.
That's our least popular episode, so I kind of forget the title. Very interesting to find out there's an association with the Chupacabra in Blanco as well. I thought that was kind of cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, the space between Austin and San Antonio, we know now has ghosts, Sasquatch, Chupacabras, UFOs.
Dogmen.
And dogmen!
Who knows what else?
I don't. Do you?
No.
Hopefully we can find out. And people think Texas is boring.
This is big.
It's big, yeah. So specimens of the Texas chupacabra have been killed and even tested, and the general consensus is that it's a coyote with, how do I pronounce the term?
Sarcoptic mange.
Sarcoptic mange. What is sarcoptic mange?
It is a parasite that exists on the outer layer of the body, and it just makes them very itchy, creates little hairless patches, so it's very scaly, lots of skin flakes coming off, dandruff, causes inflammation, so the skin looks red and irritated and cracked. That's what I immediately think of when I see any image of the Texas chupacabra, because I've seen that.
Okay.
So that's what I think of, yeah.
Okay.
Howdy with mange.
So essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm addressing you now as a veterinary professional. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
So essentially, what we have here is a mislabeling of what can probably be explained as some kind of mutated or possibly defective species of coyote. And defective comes from one of these CNN articles I read.
Okay.
Getting ready for this. And it bothers me that we were so quick to assign the same name to something in Texas that is obviously of canine descent that we use for something that was, when it was quote-unquote discovered or cited or reported, whatever you like, was very much its own thing, a very original entity. In some articles I read, the chupacabra was described as a Latin or Hispanic Sasquatch. And while this may be too broad a generalization for many researchers, it does speak to the heart of the matter, as I see it. And tell me what you think about this. I don't mean to be like white boy soapboxing, but I feel like the chupacabra belongs to Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. I think if we look back on it, even as just mythological folklore, it's deeply rooted in cultural history. Even if it was not that long ago. I mean, so I think that's just important in general to remember, is that it is rooted in their cultural history. So it is tied to their culture.
It's a part of Latin American folklore.
Yes.
Even if it's a recent addition. I think appropriating the name of something that is a part of a country or a culture's folklore for something else entirely just for the sake of marquee value is tone deaf and intellectually lazy. That's how I feel about it. No offense to anyone who prescribes to that label. I understand there are some logical reasons as to why this thing was assigned the name Chupacabra. I just disagree with them. I do see the arguments, but I disagree with them. We associate cattle mutilation with UFO sightings too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just with this one term. I'm thinking of Skinwalker Ranch, but we don't call those cattle mutilation cases chupacabra. So I just don't, you know, again, maybe too broad of a generalization, but I don't see it. Would you say that's correct so far?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Okay. I think that's well said.
Thank you. You put it way
better. It is true though. I mean, it's true.
In 2020, the San Antonio Zoo opened what may be, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, the only cryptozoological exhibit in a traditional zoo devoted to the chupacabra.
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, there may be a Sasquatch exhibit somewhere that I don't know about.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either. Huh? Well, the San Antonio Zoo has a chupacabra exhibit, and I'm...
Had. I don't think they had it in 2021.
Oh, is it gone now?
I think so, because I tried to look for it when you mentioned this, and I could not find anything about it in the current year. So I think this is kind of like a special...
Must have been a limited time thing.
Limited time thing. I don't know. We haven't been. I do want to go back
soon. We haven't.
We should go. They have Christmas lights up.
They do. Let's put that on the list.
Yeah.
We'll go and see if it's there. I just think it's worth noting that the character used in the marketing materials for this exhibit adheres to the traditional Puerto Rican description, complete with back spines and large buggy eyes.
Dope.
But that isn't to say that in Texas we haven't discovered something new. These quote-unquote Texas chupacabras are still very strange. They have genetic traits that haven't necessarily been previously identified in canine species and continue to baffle researchers. Such figures as Nick Redfern, Lyle Blackburn, and Ken Gerhard have devoted time and writing to researching them, and they still fit the cryptid category by definition.
Yeah, I do agree with that. They're creepy. I even have friends who live out here in the hill country who have still seen something similar. to what can be described as the Texas Chupacabra,
yeah.
Which I hate calling it that. But yeah, they, you know, the dog, the hairless dog, the weird trot. But
they do weird things to where you can't just be like, oh, regular coyote. It's not a regular coyote. It's something else.
Yeah.
So in order to avoid confusion, I feel very strongly that we need to rename the Texas Chupacabra. Echo effect here, probably, right?
Yes.
Cabra! And speaking of Ken Gerhardt, noted cryptozoologist, writer, has appeared in many documentaries, probably all the TV shows. Ken Gerhardt supports the campaign to rename the Texas Chupacabra.
He does.
I'm going to try to explain this without screaming. In a recent episode of Bigfoot Society Live, hosted by our good friend Jeremiah Byron, Ken Gerhardt said he would, quote, go on the record, unquote, as saying that it's a good idea to come up with a new name for this thing, to rename the Texas Chupacabra. When I tell you, Sarah, that I felt accomplished in that moment, it's an understatement. And I'm looking for my phone so I can pull up the bracket that has all the names on it. The campaign to rename the Texas Chupacabra is already underway,
mm-hmm.
With the support of our friends at the Cryptozoology Club, Jack Kirby, Paranormality Magazine, everyone who has voted or chimed in. And the five finalists are Texas Terror Dog, Beef Walker, Perro Sucio, Scab Walker, Blue Dog. there's a basis for all of these names. We're not going to take a bunch of time to get into it today, but the campaign is already underway. By the time this episode goes live, the final bracket will either be open on ParanormalityMag.com or about to be open. So help us rename the Texas Chupacabra, please.
Yes, please.
Let's put the Puerto Rican Chupacabra where it belongs, and that is in Puerto Rico. That is not in Texas.
Yes, I agree.
Final thoughts on this episode, Sarah? Anything?
I don't know.
What was that movie you looked up earlier that we were talking about?
The Chupacabra versus the Alamo with Eric Estrada.
Okay.
Looked cool. We need to watch it.
Yeah.
But it has on the front a Texas Chupacabra. It's just like a big brown dog with mange. It's just not cool. I don't know. I'd rather fight a green alien with spikes down his back.
Me too, yeah. Do you care to make a guess or a prediction as to who you think the winner will be of the renaming campaign?
I kind of like Texas Terror Dog and Scab Walker.
Scab Walker.
Scab Walker. Like, both of those are pretty cool. When I heard Scab Walker, I thought Scab Walker, Texas Ranger.
Scab Walker, Texas Ranger. It's worth noting also that Jeremiah, a friend of ours, when he heard Beef Walker, suggested Beef Walker, Texas Ranger, but...
Cool.
Beef Walker Texas Ranger did not make the bracket. I think there was some concern over confusion because Beef Walker was already a winner. So let it be known that if Beef Walker wins, Texas Ranger is the subtitle.
Cool.
For sure. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm also leaning towards Texas Terror Dog. And the reason is that I think that is a name that could be very readily embraced by other members of the community versus like Scab Walker. We may have to explain it. You know, Blue Dog is kind of a cool name. That's derived from the Spanish name of the Mexican originating breed of dog that we think these things might be, the Zolo. Thank you so much for tuning into Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Sarah.
And we will see you in about a week.
What?
For our very special, very exciting holiday episode.
Yay!
We'll be talking about something. What is it? I don't know. We're not going to tell you yet. See you next week. Sayonara, minasan!
Bye.